Good afternoon. It is 12:34 p.m. and you're listening to PMC Live, our call-in show with local officials from the Petersburg Medical Center. I am Taylor Heckert, and joining us in Studio One here today, first we have CEO Phil Hofstetter.
Hello.
And then we have someone on the phone. Let's see if I can get the phone lines figured out. Let's see. On the phone, we should also have the architect at Bettisworth North, who's been helping with the new building, Kate Incarnato. Did I say that right? Kate, let's see. Can we hear you?
Yes, you did say that right. Thanks.
Perfect. Oh, my God. Okay, perfect. We've got you on the phone. I am not the phone person, so let's hope that we can keep this going. Perfect. So we have both Kate and Phil here today. If you're listening and you have a question, you can call in at our station at 907-772-3808. And we're here to talk about all sorts of things PMC. Let's start with you, Phil.
Okay.
What kind of PMC updates do you have for us?
Yeah, thank you. A couple of things. Tonight's the board meeting. So at 5:30 this evening at the Assembly Chambers, we have our monthly board meeting. Kind of the main topics are continuation of the previous topics we've been talking about and kind of handing out there. One is we continue to get closer to getting things online in the work building, our workforce education resource center building that we're moved in, but we're still working on a few things to getting online still. We have our conference room space and our AV equipment all in there, and that's we are actually seeing good use of that building, both from internal meetings and also some external gathering or committees and groups. So we'll have more information for that availability as we get that some of the bugs worked out, and that's pretty exciting. We have our education room that is available to the public that is still continuing to be online. We're working through that, getting the computers hooked up, getting the space arranged, and also our policies around the use of that room. The MRI is ready, except for the state. So we are still ready, and we are still waiting for the state for that certificate of need. It is a regulatory process that we are required to have, and before we go completely online. And the system is there. It looks wonderful. It's just ready to be used. We do have our staff that need to get trained, but we kind of have to time it properly so that when we get our certificate of need approved, then we probably have about a month of lead time where our imaging group needs to get things online and use it and get additional training and get staff here, that kind of thing. So it's getting there. It's getting closer. It's just, just getting that regulation piece complete has been the hurdle.
Exciting. I enjoyed seeing some of the progress photos for the MRI that have been released.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this before, but just in case someone is listening and hasn't heard, explain to me why it's such a big deal that we have an MRI machine coming in.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we did a few years ago is provided a community survey and looking at our services and what are some of the services that the community wanted in our facility, in our hospital. And one of the things that was very stark was that if we had a new facility, if we had a new services online, one of the main driving points would be an MRI. And that came from the community, also comes from our physicians, and it makes sense from a standpoint related to imaging and some of the technology advances that we're able to do locally like that, and imaging and the MRI seems very appropriate for the where healthcare is working on and getting some of the imaging quality and making clinical decisions on the medical standpoint. But that came from the community, and that was something that as we had an opportunity with the funding, with the infrastructure funding for that building, we were limited. We had very strict, there were very strict rules around how we could use that funding. And one of the things that we were excited about is having the opportunity to have an MRI. That was not a restriction. We were allowed to use MRI in that building. We got an approval for that at the funding level, and that's how we included it in the space.
And do you have any idea on when the state will certify it? Is there a regular timeline, or is it up in the air?
Yeah, so we applied. We have the application process. I mean, it's It's we have a couple of questions that we have been required to answer, and a lot of that goes back and forth, and we have to get legal involved, and we have to make sure that we have a contractor that helps us with some of that, and we have conversations with the state to make sure that we're there in full understanding of the application. It's not just the MRI; it's actually also the portion of the building that is built there because it's administrative services in there, and it's the first phase in this sort of three-phase project, you know, where we're online and a community needs or a community. Not a needs assessment, but the CON, a certificate of need application, is also required for long-term care beds. So if you're having a new facility, it's required for if you're adding a new structure, a new building, and there's strict regulations around that. We want to make sure we were in compliance with that, and that's something that's very important down the line, and not just in where we are with just an MRI, which the state does support that. It's also in the building itself. And the next phase is in making sure that we capture what we need for that so we are in compliance with the regulatory statutes.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told me you don't have a date yet, but what can you tell me about when the work building is going to open?
The work building is open. Mm-hmm. So we're in there. We're in there every single day. All the programs and services, HR is up there, administration's up there, finance is up there. We have IT up there, wellness programs. So our services are online and active, and we're in that building, and we're open. Public health is open up there. They're seeing their constituents, their customers in that building. So we're open. I think what you're alluding to is the grand opening, sort of the a little bit of the song and dance aspect of things. And I don't think we should do that until we actually have the MRI online and the other parts of the education pieces online. So when we open that up to the community, that we have those processes in place, and not just if they're not online, then we can't really speak to what the community process is. So I feel like those things, it's important that we have all those elements complete.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, will the grand opening be soon? Hopefully, fingers crossed?
To me, that's going to be up to the state's certificate of need. That's when we receive that. That is when we will plan for the grand opening.
Okay. Something to look forward to. And then thinking about next steps in this facility project, Phil and Kate, I'm not sure who wants to start with this, but what's next after the work building?
Yeah, and that was something that I'll do a little preface, and then if Kate, if you can jump in on that, that would be great. But the idea is what would our next phase be with in respect to the project. And our architects have been great partners in this project, and you know they've been listening to our meetings, and we had a meeting with our steering committee group, which actually helps make some of those next step decisions. It's made up of our board and our staff, and also the borough manager, and looking at what can we do for our next steps. And Kate, if you don't mind, if you just kind of maybe talk a little about some of those next steps that we've been discussing.
Sure. What we've done and what we're working on right now is a plan to get a long-term care facility built separately from a whole hospital. So if the community remembers, we had a plan for a hospital. We had several open houses down there where there was great participation from the community. And then we built the work building, the two-story building, which was not planned at the beginning. That was a kind of zigzag in our process. But now we're sort of at a standstill with the hospital because it's so large and costs are increasing and whatnot. And so we thought, well, how can we address the dire need for long-term care in the community and maybe not build this entire hospital? So we're looking at breaking this into two phases where we have a long-term care building with rehab and dietary functions in it, like your kitchen for serving meals. And, you know, all your, you know, building support spaces that go along with that, your mechanical, electrical rooms and things like that. And that would be kind of, we call it phase two, with the work being phase one. And then a third phase, which would be the rest of the hospital functions. So all your acute care, emergency imaging lab and things like that. So we've been working on this for a little bit now. We've probably done about 20 different options for the two buildings. We're getting a little bit more on the weeds than we normally do because the site is pretty tight for two buildings, and we want to make sure that we can meet all of the needs that we've heard from the steering committee and from our department heads at PMC, and make sure that we maintain all the adjacencies that they need and all the functions that they need in two separate buildings, and then fitting them all on the site. So I think we narrowed it down to maybe three or four options right now. We're going back and forth with our landscape architects and making sure that, you know, they work with site circulation, the ambulance circulation. Can the long-term care folks, you know, get out into an outdoor space easily? Is there enough parking? Things like that. So that's where we are right now, and I hope to be able to meet with the Petersburg or the PMC folks here pretty soon in the next couple of weeks and get their input on what we've done so far.
Excellent.
Okay, yeah, that's a great roadmap.
Yeah, and if I could just add a couple of things. One of the sort of the logic behind it is about what could actually be brought up online. That's a big need in the community, and long-term care is one of our biggest needs in the community, and also it's the greatest at risk for in our aging infrastructure because they're our most vulnerable patients and residents. They live there 24/7 in our kind of the oldest part of the building. So that was one of the pieces. It's also considered a, you know, even though it's in under one roof currently, it's actually a separate, it's surveyed separately. They have separate regulations. Well, actually, a lot of our staffing naturally is separate. We do have some overlap, but it's not a reach to have that kind of separation with sort of this next phase. And additionally, it's been hard to get any traction at the legislative level when you're having this, when you're phasing out a structure in a building, an all-in-one structure under one roof building, when you don't have an end point. And that's sort of the thing, the keeping the cost of the next phase down and keeping that cost at a lower amount than asking for an amount that's probably never going to see the light of day at the legislative level, considering the landscape these days, is looking at what could we actually, can we parse this out logically at a lower cost per phase, and then have a logical structure and pattern behind it. And then checking the box of also there's an opportunity to add more beds to do something like this and making it more home-like, keeping it less institutional of a feel. Those kinds of things have been brought up with with Dr. Hess, our medical director, when we were talking about this. She's also on the steering committee when we're having these discussions. So just looking at that from that standpoint. And then we still have to bring it to the board and then the assembly for sort of a part of our work session. And then when we're looking at our next CAPSIS advocacy and priority advocacy, this is sort of a logical place that we could actually go. Legislators want to know what they get if they don't want to have like a shell and core. That was our next phase of the big building, was shell and core, and it seems like it would be better if we can keep the funding amount down on the next phase and also having a turnkey, a building open and operational, like the work building is operational, even though it's separate.
Mm-hmm. And there's a really strong need for long-term care in Petersburg, right? It's full usually, right, here?
Yeah, it's actually, everywhere is we have an aging population. I'm sure you've heard in the news many different aspects as we cover this quite a bit in our board meetings as well. The over the age of 65 population is considerable, and Southeast Alaska is aging faster than most other places in the nation, even. And so it's definitely going to be a need now, and it's a need in the future for probably the next 20, 30 years until this cycle of aging population of baby boomers and that group is in that age bracket. So we're really looking at what that looks like from a community standpoint and meeting the need there. Those things are not just going to be isolated here. They're everywhere. And if that's the case, the wait times for other facilities, the lack of space is an issue, and the cost of care ends up rising as well as a result of that. And then also meeting the needs locally in the community keeps costs down on a grander scale as well, statewide and also nationally.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here then is after the work building, the next plan is to work on long-term care, and you're working on the ideas for that.
We are, yes.
Okay, anything else to talk about when it comes to next steps with new facilities?
Not new facilities. I did want to talk a little bit about something, and concept idea. Again, I call them planting seeds and just kind of getting the word out and like some of the thought process of where we are with sort of a next project, if that's all right. I don't know if you had another
question. No, go for it.
Well, something that we've been working on and recognizing the cost of care is really high, you know, when we're looking at healthcare costs and a lot of stuff that's happening in the nation and the Medicaid cuts. And so one of the projects that was brought up through our medical staff was a way of having cost, you know, cost of care, you know, how can we actually provide cost in our primary care that's down, prevention visits, well child or well visits, basic labs, those kinds of things. And the state of Alaska 2 years ago passed a bill, a Senate bill, I think it's 42. I'll have to look at that in 2024 or 2023 session. Again, I'll have to refresh my memory on that. But they did pass a bill that allowed an entity that bills insurance also having sort of their own contract with their community or their patient population. If you build insurance traditionally, you are not allowed to have a separate payer system. You had to follow the insurance rules. You couldn't offer a discount for one person. You had to follow whatever your rules were for your billing. You had to keep those standard across the board. And it was basically, that was it. There was no end to, you couldn't adjust any of that. You were allowed to do certain things like discounts and sliding fee based on income, but you couldn't actually, someone came in for a primary care visit, you couldn't have at a lower cost of what you would normally bill insurance. Well, that regulation change is called direct primary care, and it actually allows us to bill insurance but also have a program where people who are underinsured, people who don't have high insurance, or maybe they have super high deductibles or catastrophic insurance or something like that, and having a subscription model, so you pay a monthly fee similar to insurance, but it's not exactly with PMC, so it's direct primary care. And we have certain services covered under that model. And you basically can come in for an unlimited amount. You can, you know, you can see your physician. You can have, you know, basic services, and we'll have those clearly defined. And we're working on that so that we can offer that to the community, particularly for, you know, the timeliness with some of the rate increases for the Affordable Care Act doesn't get lost on us. We're trying to really see if we can make it so that people can actually go in and have care done, and it's not extravagantly expensive. If they need to remove a skin tag or a wart or something, you know, simple procedures, simple things in a clinic that are not so costly. So that's something we're working on. Again, it's not a lot. I don't have a lot more information other than that this is a exciting project. It's enough that we are going to go live with this. It's just a matter of some of the details around that, but I definitely wanted to get starting to get the word out on that kind of project.
Okay, so the goal with this would then be to provide hopefully cheaper care for people who are not insured or the most vulnerable people in the community for certain types of care.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is you go to Hammers, you go to the hardware store, you don't pull out your homeowner's insurance card to pay for some wood, right? I mean, so like the idea is to kind of bring that down to the basics. What are some things that we provide locally? Wouldn't cost us a ton more to provide, you know, and we also can provide those services. And this Senate bill allows us to be able to do that now. And can we actually do some of those services so it can come in? It's affordable for most people in the community, especially those that are underinsured, or maybe they haven't had a well check or a, men's health or women's health check in a long time, and maybe we don't want those people coming in when they have heart attacks and strokes, right? I mean, that's really the thing. It's like getting people onto a schedule of prevention. How can we do that and make it affordable too, so that the community can actually utilize our facility in a way that is similar to, you know, your grocery store and your hardware store.
Okay. Something for the future then. As we run up on time, we've got about 7 more minutes left. Phil or Kate, is there anything that we're missing that's important to share before our time is up?
I think I'm done talking. Kate, did you have anything else?
Well, yeah. But thank you for having me.
Well, thank you both for coming on. Then I guess we'll wrap up now. That was PMC Live. We were talking to PMC CEO Phil Hofstetter and then architect Kate Incarnato.